But I was just thinking today, you know, this, it seems like year by year the heat increases. And I was just thinking today that but the Bible speaks of where he's going to make it so hot that it will scorch the people. Revelation says it'll be so hot that it will scorch the people, and they will blaspheme the name of the Lord and curse the God of heaven. They will be so tormented that they will actually blaspheme the name of the Lord and curse the God of heaven because of the heat. And it looks like it's building up to it. Looks like it's getting a good start to build up to it. So, as I said, all we can do is endure it. Pray and ask God to give us grace. And when it gets to where it is unbearable, so far as us, he'll do something about it. I thank God for a little bit of coolness to where you can get a good cold glass of water. The air conditioners are still working all right. But when it heats up as hot as it's going to get, the air conditioners won't work anymore. They won't cool you. And the water will be so hot you can't even get in the water to get cooled off. Probably it will heat up to where it will probably scald you if you get in the water. Probably hard to find a refreshing drink of water, and that's going to be bad. The heat pulls all the water out, and you can't get any to put in to cool you. It's going to be bad, folks. That's why the Bible tells us to pray always, that we may be accounted worthy to escape those things that's coming on the earth. You know, people as a whole are not praying, and people as a whole will not escape those things that's coming on the earth. As a matter of fact, very few people will even escape the flames of the lake of fire. Very few people will escape the flames of the lake of fire. Eternal life is given to us, but the Bible said, few there be that find it. We're more interested in making money than we are publishing the gospel, and not interested enough in laboring that we might have to give to help the gospel or the poor and the needy. Some people won't do nothing. I was talking to some today. And some won't do nothing home or abroad. They just won't do nothing but leech. And I watched two men today cunningly come around and working together, and saw what they was up to. And it's really bad. I try to work with people as much as I can, and I usually wind up trying to do something, but I think of how cunning and crafty they are to leech off of the brethren the way they do and off of the sisters. And like the Bible said, some folks are greedy dogs that never get enough. They always want to do something till they get something, then they got something figured out they want to do with it in the natural. They say, I'd love to do something for God until God gives them a chance, and then they got 101 things they want to do for themselves. And they're ever ready to receive and never ready to give. But I thank God for a few people that love the Lord, that are willing to give, and that's laboring. Gideon's few that's laboring to send the gospel into all the world and help the cause of Christ. I'm so thankful. Thankful for the men that have gone down to the boat recently and worked with us, and the men that went up to the bus over in Pennsylvania. And for the one or two at home that stayed on the home front that helped support the cause of them that had to go. We have to support it strictly by faith. We really don't have nobody to support the cause. We just have to support it by faith. By praying and seeking God, there are some that God can speak to, and occasionally the Lord moves in that direction and they respond, and it really helps the cause of Christ. Some of the families have already left for the Canadian meeting. They had to leave today because if they wait too long, it's hard for them to make the trip. The men that were in Pennsylvania and then the men that went up to Canada, they've already gone and come back. And they gave out their brochures, and they said the people entreated them real well, and that the people received the brochures gladly. And by now, it's already on the TV and whatever. I didn't get to leave today because I kind of felt like I probably have to fly. And so far, it has worked out to where it looks like I'm going to have to do exactly that. The car, they fixed the car, but I told them that wasn't what was wrong with it. But they insisted that was what was wrong with it, so they fixed it. I've had at least three different things that they've done to try to fix it, and told them that wasn't what was wrong with it. So each time they found out that isn't what's wrong with it. And now, it looks like they may have to do, I don't know that it'll turn out that way, but it appears that they might have to do what was told us that we'd have to do in the start. There was a Christian brother. I met him down in Florida. When he first started acting up, I pulled into a service station, and he was the mechanic there. And he took one look at it, and he told me what he understood it was. And it looks like it's going to prove out to be exactly that. I guess we'll probably be leaving Friday morning if everything goes well. Probably catch a plane Friday morning and fly into Toronto. And then out of Toronto, about 70 miles, we'll have to drive from there to where the reservation is. So probably have to go in and rent me a car and fly over. Talking to Brother Howard Walden yesterday, and Howard was telling me how that the Lord was blessing him. God just blesses his people. That's all there is to it. He blesses them. When other people can't seem to make things fit together, God's people always makes it fit together, and that's beautiful. Brother Sister Anna's son-in-law that came in from Texas, we talked to him today, come seeking a word from the Lord, and the Lord gave him a word. Come in a real good, sincere spirit. When you miss doing the work of God, you go into the lake of fire. In the book of Revelation, it said, blessed is he or they that do the commandments of God. Not believe. It doesn't say anything about blessed are they that believe. It says blessed are they that do the commandments of God. The child is known by his doing. Whatsoever you do shall prosper. And the Bible said blessed are they that do his commandments. For they shall have right to the tree of life. And the rights to enter in through the gates of that holy city. But without are dogs and whoremongers and sorcerers and liars, all that love and make a lie, and all kind of people that are contrary to good, holy living. You know, like I was telling somebody today, the Bible speaks of a righteous man. And the Bible speaks of a filthy man. You can be filthy or you can be righteous. And being righteous is not the ultimate of God. Being righteous does not mean that you are the ultimate of Christ's desire. Being righteous is one thing, being just is another thing. The Bible says to be righteous. It says to be just. It says to be clean. It says to be holy. And when you speak of a full reward as to the ministry, you're not just speaking of being righteous. A just man, as I said today, he will justly do everything that he has to do. He will be just in his decisions. He will try to be just in the way he thinks of you. He'll try to be just in his transactions or be just in anything that he undertakes to do. And a righteous man will try to do things right. He will try to have the right attitude towards you, do the right thing towards you, have the right transactions with his creditors, have the right outlook and fellowship with his brethren or his fellow man. But the ultimate of God is a holy person. The Bible speaks of a full reward, and it speaks of the holy apostles and prophets of God. And the Bible says, he that is filthy, let him be filthy still, and he that is just, let him be just still, and he that is righteous, let him be righteous still, and he that is holy, let him be holy still. And so then the ministry should be holy. If you are a minister, you should be holy. If you're not holy, then you should be praying every day. God said, be therefore perfect as I'm perfect. And he said, be holy even as I'm holy. So then our ultimatum in Christ as the ministry should be to be holy. And folks, I can assure you that there is nothing less than a world of difference between a holy man and a righteous man. Even though a righteous man is a great thing in the earth, yet God is looking for something even far greater than that. You can be righteous by being born again to the extent that you are righteous because of his righteousness, in that the Bible teaches that we are made the righteousness of Christ Jesus. Now we can do that. But when it comes to being holy, even as God is holy, the Bible said, add to all of these wonderful things that you have, peace, patience, temperance. Then he gets on around to saying that ye should add godliness, godliness, to be like God, godliness. That takes in a whole different story altogether, of wanting to be godly, wanting to be holy. There's a lot of self-denial, a lot of things that you can have otherwise, that when you go down that trail, it's a different avenue altogether. But at the end of it, the reward is so tremendously greater than any other street that you can go down until at the end of the way, you'll be so glad. This is why I say what I do to you so often. I talk to you a lot of times about doing something for God. I get the feeling back, you know, I'm all right. I love the Lord. I try to do what's right. I treat my fellow man right and whatever, and I'm just as good as you or anybody else. Well, there's no question about that, because all of our goodness is of God. There's none good but God, and all of our goodness is of God. So it's obvious that there's not one thing that I could do that would make me any better than you, nor you better than me. But one thing that you do fail to understand, and that is there is a 30-fold, there is a 60-fold, there is a 100-fold. And if there is those different conditions of life and stages of life that I speak of, as to the first heaven, as to the second heaven, as to the third heaven, as to one reward, as to another reward, as to another reward. The crown of a righteous man is one crown. The crown of a just man is another crown. And the crown of a holy man is another crown. So, all entered into the vineyard, beginning with the last, he paid unto the first. And he gave them all the same thing. So then, so as to eternal life, if you serve God, you get the same thing. But when it comes to your reward, as to your crown, it's altogether different. I hope you'll think these things over, because I find a lot of lethargy. I go down to the printing office so often, so many multiplied times, to check the door and it's locked. The other offices to find out that they're locked up. No ambition, no desire. But there's a crop coming on. There's a new crop coming. And it's going to push right in, and it's going to blossom like a rose. And it's going to get the job done. There's no question about it. It's coming to that. There is a new crop. God's going to do a new thing. He said, I'll do a new thing. And that means that somebody will be occupying the offices. Got to get up and go. We've got to work for Christ and do something. There's definitely a need for an awakening. Woe unto them that are at ease in Zion. Woe unto them that are at ease in Zion. I heard the other day that some of the boys that even attend church here bought some machines or ball tables or something and took them over here to the store. And I guess they're working with that man to make him some money, I suppose. Which is absolutely pathetic and unheard of. But, of course, that's their business, if it's really true. And they will go to hell for doing it. That's also their business, to go to hell for what they've done. Because they are not Christians. And they will go to hell for it. There is no eternal life to people like that. As a matter of fact, it's a reproach to what I stand for. But still, at the same time, they're not the only ones that's doing things that are reproachful, Lord, that's going to hell. There's others that's doing things that's bad or worse. But on the other hand, that doesn't mean everybody's going to hell. That doesn't mean that God doesn't have any saints. There are still people that love God, that's upholding the blood-stained banner of Christ, and they are going to have eternal life. Perhaps they won't be rewarded as a holy man or a holy woman, but they will be rewarded with eternal life as righteous people. But it'd be so good if I could get people to really get the feeling that they'd like to be that holy one, that godly one, that pure one, that perfect one, to be therefore perfect before the Father, even as He is perfect. I've heard the Lord say to me, like He did Abraham, He'd say, walk perfect before me. That takes a lot of doings, you know, to really push out the world and everything like the world. And, you know, no matter whether you get out in the world to work or whether you don't, that doesn't matter. You know, there's just so much about a man and about a woman that's worldly. Even at their very best, if they pray, if they fast, give themselves to God, there's just so much about them that's just plain worldly. And of course, when it comes to leaving off of those things, they don't want to leave off of those things because they enjoy those things. They enjoy those things. They say, well, there's nothing wrong with it. Why come I can't do it? Well, it's true, there's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with it. See, Paul said, all things are lawful to me. All things are lawful to me. There's nothing wrong with it. Many things you do, there's nothing wrong with it. Those things are lawful. But even my own family's never been able to catch the vision of what I've tried to tell them concerning these things. They say, you see it one way, you know, somebody else sees it another way. That's true. The lion roams the forest, the jungle. And he looks out of the eyes of a lion and he sees it one way. And the giraffe, whose eyes are lofty above the treetops, his appetite isn't the same. And he looks out of the eyes of a giraffe. And life looks out of the eyes of these creatures in different ways. And they see it different. They see it different. And that's what makes them what they are. That's what makes them live the way that they live. And that's what makes them have the nature that they have. But you know, the beautiful thing that about godliness is that God says we all are ordained to the full measure of the full stature of the perfect man, Christ Jesus. And He desires that we be all of one mind and one accord. And He desires that we all take one example, even the Lord Jesus Christ, to conform to that one example, to walk in His step, and to be exactly like Him. So, it would be so wonderful if my people could get the vision to where they had no desire for the world. And these things that they say aren't wrong, and that they feel that they have a right to do them, that they could realize that though all things are lawful, that all things are not expedient, Paul said. And all things do not edify. All things are not expedient. Paul said those things that are lovely, pure, that's virtuous. Think on these things. See, all things are not expedient. All things do not edify. Like the Bible speaks of a single man, it speaks of a single man and a single woman. And it says, if you don't have a wife, don't look for a wife. If you don't have a husband, don't look for a husband. You know, it says that the wife careth for the things of her husband, how she might please him. And the husband careth for the things of the wife, how he may please her. But when you are without husband and wife, if you're one of those called, this everybody can't receive this just to whom it's given. But if you are, then you don't have any cares concerning wives and husbands. And then that makes a whole world of difference. Now, as a rule, most people that don't have a wife or husband are not even as well off as those that have husbands and wives. Most people that's got a wife or a husband, they're better off because they try harder to live for God than them that don't have one. Usually they're just kind of frolicking around if they don't have one. But if they could come to the place that Paul did, and Elijah and some of the others, how great and wonderful that would be. You know, I try to love my wife and children. And I hope you don't mind me talking to you, as I sometimes do. I try to love my wife and children, but a number of years ago, I gave them up. I mean, I gave them up, completely gave them up. And I followed after Christ. And Christ has taken well care of my wife and children. They've had the desire of their heart. And He hath given them everything that they could wish for. And He will continue to do that as long as they follow after Me, as long as I follow after Him. If I follow after Him and they follow after Me, they will be rewarded accordingly. But if a wife will not follow her husband when he chooses to ultimately follow Christ, then wherever she slacks, that is her shortcoming, and that much of her perfection is lacking, because she is perfect in Him as he surrenders to Christ. And the same way with the children. If the father follows Christ and the children follow the mother and father, then they also will come up in a perfect life, and there will be a perfect family. But as a rule, that never happens. I've never met one yet where it ever happened. I've seen some come up better than others and do a whole lot better. I had a man a few days ago. He come over from Mississippi, a great fellow. And he was telling me what perfect children he had. And I marveled. I literally marveled. Because he told me how straight he was. And I had no reason to doubt it. How straight his wife was. And I had no reason to doubt that. I thought, well, that's great. That's above the average. I'll say that. But when he got down to the children, it was sure enough hard for me to get a hold of. Because he told me how perfect they was. And the things that they did and the things that they did not do. And now that they were grown up, I believe 17 and 18 years old, if I make no mistake. And they were just the perfect family. So I marveled. And I was telling my wife and them what a glorious, glorious family that was. So he came back for the second visit. And we talked. And we got into it again about how glorious the family was. And I was still marveling. And then he told me about a little problem they had in school. And how that this problem arose on the school bus. And how that it finally got between him and, or rather his wife and the woman that drove the school bus. And finally it got between him and the man that was married to the woman. And he got between his son and the other son. And he said, finally, there was some boys that, I think it just got so bad, so finally his boy just slapped the girl good until he busted her mouth. And then after that, there was about five boys that come out to get him, and his mother was out there, and he said, she said she couldn't get them to leave, so she just told them, wanted them to climb out while the brother was on the other side watching to make sure that not more than one got him. I think they had a gun, and the brother, he was ready with his gun. Whatever. But the mother said, just get him. And so he gave him a whipping and beat him until he was beat down on the ground. And then after that, I think the father called and told the daddy some things about coming over. And the daddy informed him to come on, that he pushed him as far as he was going to push him, and he might go back like his son. So when I got all that scrambled up with the other, I've been kind of bewildered ever since then, and as I say, I haven't met one yet. Now, I might sometimes. I've not met one yet. It looked like I had met one there, and I didn't question it. I thought, well, God, if that's the way it is, that's the way it is. You know, this is the one thing I never seen, but I guess this is the first time for all things. So you can't go by everything you hear. I think that the people of Bethlehem do real well. The children do real well. Don't know if none of them that do like they ought to do, but at least they do make an effort to try to do right. And I trust that they'll continue to do right, and that we'll all realize that we're growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus to the full measure, the full stature of the perfect man, Christ Jesus, and try to go on to be perfect. I made the statement not too long ago, a number of months ago, that the leavening would mix with the leaven, or the unleavened, that is, and that we would have mix-ups and things that we wouldn't be able to do nothing with, that we'd have to make some allowance to the extent that it was going to be like that, and yet we couldn't allow to the extent of compromising. And of course, many of you have had to contend with that. And I've had to contend with it, not only from my people, but from, that is, from my relatives or children, but from my brothers and sisters in Christ that's here on the campground. For numbers and numbers of months, even to a number of years, I've had to contend with it. Put up with it, but I did it to spare. So that I could spare. And yet not sparing him, there'd be pricks in my side, but spare your heart and spare some things that might be lenient towards you. Still believe in old-time holiness, and I still believe that everyone should live according to the Bible. Though there's 30-fold, there's 100-fold, there's 60-fold. And I have a standard here set to try to bring you to 100-fold. And of course, you don't honor it and you don't obey it. So whatever you come up to be, that's what you are. But at least we're trying to hold it as strict as we can. And some of you have really rebelled and cut it short in a great way. Some of my own relatives have done it, and some of my own children have done it. And we pull the line tighter and tighter to try to hold it as much as we can. But some of you are determined that you're not going to do it, and your children are determined that they're not going to do it. And we've just had to tolerate it and put up with it. And I've got some children that are determined that they're not going to do it. And I've informed them with all love and respect that if they don't want to do it, then they can move out. If they don't like the way that I run the house, and they don't like my rules and regulations. Try to be as lenient as I can, but I informed them months ago that they could move out, and they did, and of course they're in and out. Whereas I'm trying to work with them as much as I can. But like I told my wife the other day, I said, Betty, there's one thing about it. I have never in my life that I know of compromised with any of my children or anybody. I leave them to God, for God to do whatever He wants to with them, and He's going to do something with them because of the different things that different ones have done. And I said, it's for sure that I'm not going to compromise with my children. The last two or three children that I have, and I've informed them, and though I've tried to be lenient with them as I have with yours and with you, but I'm not going to compromise with them. I perhaps will be more lenient with your children for your sake, even though I do know for sure that if you are too lenient with yours, you're going to reap a field of briars, and it's going to come back, because somewhere down the line, you're going to pay for letting them do the way they did and continue here at the campground. So I said all that to say this. If you're not striving for a hundredfold in God, then you're shortcoming. And if your goal isn't to be perfect before God, then you are shortcoming. If you're not trying to obtain a full reward, then you are shortcoming. I want to obtain a full reward. The brother from Texas said today, Brother Pikes, and I marvel, said we are a big religious organization, whereas he belongs to one of the biggest. It perhaps is the biggest Pentecostal. It is one of the biggest Pentecostals in the world. And he said, I marvel, said, because at our church we don't seem to do nothing much of getting the gospel out. Said it just seemed to be a local thing, but y'all are always reaching way out. And said, y'all are not large in the way we are, and you don't have the facilities and the money and that kind of thing, and yet y'all reach out, you know, the way you do. Said I marvel at it. And strangely enough, the very organization that he's with has contacted us, asking us to continue to supply, or that is leading us to think that their desire is that we should continue to supply them with our literature over in the mission fields. They have contacted us through that organization, and even out of Missouri, which is the headquarters, they've contacted us and asked us if we, or praised us in the literature that we have as to the wonderful literature. And as a matter of fact, we've got a letter today out of Africa. Some pictures showing a multitude of people and several pictures in color and appraising the tracks and the literature. Said it's really affecting the people of Africa. Said those tracks are really affecting the people. And of course they've set their church up as the Eternal Abundant Life Church. And it's just, I mean, it's a beautiful place they've got too. They showed the pictures of the church. It's a big place and a beautiful place on the inside. I have pictures of it, and they said not only this, but it is springing up into other churches, Brother Pike, all around. That was in Kenya, Nairobi, and we'd just gotten another one from another place, and they was telling us the same thing, that preaching, that the congregation had just broke out into a multitude. And said, Brother Pike, since we started on the Eternal Abundant Life name, said this thing is spreading out in such a way that other churches all around or places are springing up. And this is just numbers of places from different places, out of the islands, out of South America, Central America, out of the foreign fields, around the world, and here in the United States. Always getting letters from the radio programs here in the United States. I thought that we were off of XCRF. I told you that we were off of XCRF because of something that had taken place. The man out of Texas that was listening wrote and said that he was not getting the program. So we called Mr. Gonzalez, and he said that we wasn't off the station. So Betty insists that we was off of the station. So he called and checked, and he said, strangely enough, something's happened and you are. But said, I'll put you right back on, find out what happened. Well, they have given us free time to stay on XCRF. They've done that because they wanted our program so bad. We've had stations that cut the price and informed us that at the time they was cutting the price for ours and were going up on others, leading ministers to keep our program on the station. But anyway, somehow or another, it was put back on the station when Betty told him not to. Said, since it's off, leave it off, but they've been playing it. So it's still on XCRF. If we get good response, we've got respond out as far as Grand Cayman Island from XCRF. And I have seen mail from Russia when it was 100,000 watts because of its clear channel. And now it's 200,000 or better, whatever. I know at least 200,000. All right, it's warm, folks, isn't it? I see you just a fanning away. How many of you getting ready for camp meeting? You got your fans ready. Done bought them in advance. How do you think you can endure the camp meeting? Got a few of them. I take it that the rest of them won't be able to make it. Thank God for them that can endure. Well, I'm hoping, and of course I'm choosing this time to talk to you just a little bit tonight because we're going to Canada. I'm going to be up there over the weekend. I'm hoping that by July the 4th, which is the camp meeting, how many notice that they've already got the signs up? Nothing happens. I'm hoping that we will have an air conditioning unit operating. We've got two huge air conditioning units sitting on top of this building just ready to go. They're already installed. They're just sitting there. Well, I said installed to the extent they're positioned. And I told Chuck today to be sure to put in the order for the converter immediately. We've got a big power unit out here that is already three-phase. It would run a small city. But we haven't got it hooked up. There's a possibility that we might get the other two. I don't know. That is the ones that the Jew has. But we are going to get a converter, and Chuck is supposed to process it right away. It takes about a week or so to get it. But as quick as we get it, we'll have them to go ahead and run the air pipes so that by this 4th of July, if the Lord is willing, that you that can endure can make it on into heaven, and the others that couldn't endure, they can come and enjoy the air conditioning and wish they could have endured so they could have made it into heaven. So it will be great, and that you endured. The Bible said, and he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. And everyone that truthfully meant that they can by faith in God endure, then that means that you'll have opportunity to go to heaven and still enjoy the air conditioner. So let's think on that. Let's pray that everything will work out. I believe Betty said they're already announcing the camp meeting on WLAC in Cincinnati. Is that right? I mean, Tennessee. Nashville, Tennessee, is it? WLAC out of Nashville, Tennessee. Oh, the Canadian meeting. But they don't have the camp meeting announced as of yet. This coming Monday, the camp meeting starts. It's the Canadian meeting that they're announcing on WLAC. The man that brought our composer today, stranger, I've never met him. Somewhere, where is he from, Frank? A lot of people listen to our radio programs. This man, somehow by chance, he was met, and he come all the way down today to bring our composer. Oh, he didn't get to come. He sent one of his men. Okay. He is interested in the message that we're preaching. He said he'd heard the radio broadcast, had been listening to us, and he liked what we was preaching or the way we preached, whatever. And of course, I remember somebody out of Mapleton or that area that came down that said they saw us on TV and they listened to our TV program and they come all the way down to get acquainted with us. So there are people that may never write a letter, that you may never hear from, but they are listening to the Word of God in all around the different parts of the United States and across the world, they're listening. I made mention not too long ago how that a woman, perhaps a sister, the way she talked, over in Africa, said that she had gone from New York to Africa to visit with her sister, and said while she was there, she heard the Eternal Abundant Life program, and said it come in loud and clear, and she was telling what it meant to her. I'm going to read something here, and I probably won't comment much on it because I took most of the time talking to you. It's hot. I'm going to let you go in a few minutes. Chapter 6 of Ephesians. It says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling in singleness of your heart as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fire darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. But that ye also may know my affairs, and how do Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts. Peace be with the brethren, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen." I'm just going to read that scripture tonight. Ask you to stand with me. Let's sing a chorus together. Did you notice that Paul used the terms to all them that loved our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. In sincerity. The angel of the Lord, when he appeared to Brother Branham, said, if thou canst be sincere. And I remember down in LaGrange, Georgia, I've been praying. I was away by myself, and I'd been praying and talking to the Lord for a bit. And I like just to get away with the Lord just by myself, whether it's for hours or whether it's for days. And the Lord spoke to me, and the Lord said to me, he said, be sincere. This is the thing that seemingly is lacking. You know, people, in some cases, who throw their children to the crocodiles are more sincere than some of you religious people. More sincere. So then Paul said that love our Lord Jesus Christ sincerely. Said, and from the heart. Not just an infatuation of the head, but from the heart. Let's sing this little chorus together. I'll go with my Lord through the garden. I'll go with him through the garden. I'll go with him through the garden, and I'll go with him all the way. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where Jesus leads me, I will follow. And I'll go with him all the way. He will give me grace and glory. He will give me grace and glory. And he will give me his grace and his glory, and I'll go with him all the way. Sing it now. I'll go with him through the garden. Garden, we'll go with him through the garden. We'll go with him all the way. Let's sing this little chorus. Just one or two little courses and we're going to let you go. We're going to enter God's gates with thanksgiving in our heart. We're going to enter God's courts with praise. We're going to say, this is the day that my Lord hath made. Gonna rejoice 'cause Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. My Lord made me glad, and I'm gonna rejoice 'cause Jesus made me glad. Oh, my Lord made me glad. Jesus made me glad, and I'm gonna rejoice 'cause Jesus made me glad. Let us enter God's gates with thanksgiving in our hearts. Let us enter God's courts with praise. Let us say, this is the day that my Lord hath made. Gonna rejoice 'cause Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. My Lord made me glad, and I'm gonna rejoice 'cause Jesus made me glad. Oh, my Lord made me glad. Jesus made me glad, and I'm gonna rejoice 'cause Jesus made me glad. Going to enter these gates with thanksgiving in my heart. Going to enter these courts with praise. I'm gonna say, this is the day that my Lord hath made. Gonna rejoice 'cause Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad, and I'm gonna rejoice 'cause Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. My Lord made me glad, and I'm gonna rejoice. Jesus made me glad. Do you love the Lord? God is so wonderfully good. So wonderfully good. We ought to be doing something for Him, folks. Time is running out. I want to say this one more time in closing. The Bible said that the heat will be so great and intense until you're going to scorch. It's going to be so hot till you're actually, as a human being, going to scorch. Have you ever ironed? You know, people used to have old-fashioned irons, and they ironed. And still there's electric irons. Have you ever ironed and scorched anything? Have you ever scorched anything? Burned the biscuits? It's going to be so hot. Well, someone said, well, Brother Pike, it'll never get that hot. Well, believe it or not, they have recorded heat so great in Atlanta, Georgia, till they have taken an egg and broke it on the sidewalk and fried right there. They've already done that. It'll be so hot. It's already broke a record this year for this time of year. And folks, it ain't really got summertime yet. How many knows it ain't really got summertime yet? Wait till it gets summertime. If this is hot, just wait till it really gets summertime. It'll get so hot it's going to scorch you. I wouldn't doubt a bit, and it's going to be so hot that some of your hair is going to curl up. You won't have to use curlers no more. I got a feeling it's just going to roll right up on its own. And the Bible says it will be so hot till people will actually curse God. They will curse the God of heaven. Can you imagine that? That they'll be so tormented. They'll go over to your house and his house and our house and their house and whosoever houses is around. I trust I won't be around that time. But they'll go from place to place I saw some little ants today. But he had forced them out of their holes. And they were just on the rampage. I mean, they were going wild. They couldn't find no resting place. I mean, they were going. Usually little ants, you know, you find them sometimes just kind of poking along. But not these. I mean, they were going. So. But anyway, the heat is going to be so bad until the clay will be baked under you. The waters will probably be boiling. You talk about hot spring over in Arkansas, Old Faithful. Tell you what, if God don't do something, everything in the whole nation will be Old Faithful and everything in the whole world. It'll be spewing like Old Faithful. They talk about the hot springs that's in the ground. There'll be plenty of hot springs. But just think, it'll be so bad. The Bible says in one place, there was an earthquake. And a tenth part of the place just crumbled, the city. And maybe thousands just within a few minutes perished. Maybe 7,000 at one time. And the Bible said, and the remnant gave glory to God. The remnant gave glory to God. The rest of them decided they were going to praise God. The two prophets that will come on the scene during that horrible situation. The Bible says that when their message is preached, that the people will literally be tormented. It'll be a message of doom, where they rejected. God's rejected them. And they'll kill the prophets. And them two prophets is going to lay in the streets for 3 days and a half. They'll just lay there. And the Bible said the people will be so glad they're dead that they won't even bury them. Won't let nobody bury them. Just leave them in the streets. So people can look upon their dead bodies and they'll just rejoice. Said that they tormented the people so much that people will just rejoice. And they'll have a jubilee and they'll send gifts one to another through gladness of the death of these prophets. But after 3 days and a half, the Bible said, and then the Spirit of God shall enter into them, and they shall be lifted up and raised up on their feet, and then caught up to ascend up into heaven while their enemies watch them. And then the great earthquake. The Bible said, and then the remnant gave glory to God. You know, you may not give glory to God. You might be too busy. You might think it's out of style to pray over your food in a cafe. Or it's out of style to talk about Jesus when the president or the uptowns are around. But you're going to find out that those that feel like that and those that have the feeling that they can't name the name of Jesus in the presence of the banker, they'll find the banker hollering, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. You don't have to tell him nothing. If you're around at that time and he's around at that time, you'll hear that banker screaming out, glory to God, glory to God. Folks, praise God, glory to God. The Bible said, and the remnant gave glory to God. When things start happening that are strong enough, then the rest of them will give glory. Well, I just thought I'd mention those few things. The rivers are going to turn to blood. The fountains of waters is going to turn to blood. The sea is going to turn to blood. And the voice said, give them blood to drink. They're worthy. Give them blood. Let them drink blood. The voice said, let them drink blood. Won't hurt them. Won't be bad for them. The evil things they've done. Let them drink blood. Said, they're worthy to drink it. Give them blood to drink. The waters, just think about that now. The waters is going to turn to blood. And I said, well, I don't see how that could be, Brother Pike. Well, the Bible said during the battle and during the siege of Armageddon, the blood will run up to the horses' bridles. And that's a big valley. The streams are going to be filled with blood. Everywhere is just going to be blood, blood, blood. Everywhere it's going to be blood. And every time you want a drink of water, it's going to be like it was down in Egypt. You go to get a drink of a cup of water, you'll get you a cup of blood. As one of the Bible said, pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape these things that's coming on the earth. There's a lot of bad things coming, folks. A lot of bad things is coming. The sun's going to be smitten. The moon's going to be smitten. The stars is going to be smitten. And the Bible said a third part of them is going to go out. And the Antichrist's kingdom, the Bible said, is going to be filled with darkness. And the people are going to gnaw their tongues for pain. And sores and balls, grievous sores, is going to break out on them. And you're going to be in misery, but you can't die. The Bible said death will be lifted. You'll pray for death, but death won't be around. Death won't be there to console you. You'll just have to suffer it through. The Bible said there won't be any healing medicines. So you won't have nothing to null the pain. All of these things are coming on the earth. And the Bible said there's going to be locusts that will come on the earth and devour everything. And these things are going to have a sting in their tail as the sting of a scorpion when he striketh a man. Tormenting. Everyone that's not sealed, everyone that's not a saint of God is going to go through this. Everyone. They're going through it. God has decreed in his heart because they've been mean. They've been contrary. They have been a bunch of fiends when it comes to human passion to reject, to tear down, to destroy morals. They've been so gullible after money that they robbed, cheated, and their fellow man, and they won't live for God. They've got to make money. And they have stole the virtues of one another, committed their horrible crimes. They killed. They've been merciless. God said, he that showeth mercy shall obtain mercy. They've let people starve to death and done nothing about it. God said, I'm going to reward them accordingly. In that they showed no mercy, I'm not going to have any mercy on them. They spilt blood, I'm going to let them drink blood. And folks, he goes on speaking of the horrible things. And he said, every good thing that you ever wanted will be taken away from you. Human passions won't be there for you to enjoy no more. Eating and drinking won't be there for you to enjoy no more. And the Bible said everything that's dainty, everything that's good, everything that your soul has desired and lusted after shall be taken away from you. Won't be nothing but a living nightmare. And folks, you're going through it. There's little doubt in my mind that there's people right here that unless God undertakes or prolongs his coming, that you're going through it. You're going through it. I know you are. You say, how do you know, Brother Pike? Because you're not listening to me. Brother would say, well, I come to church regular. I listen regular, Brother Pike. I know, but having ears you don't hear and having eyes you don't see. And you don't give the more earnest heed to the things that you have heard. You're so jealous or zealously affected by the world. And so jealous over the things of the world. Till you strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Some of us, if we don't watch, we're just religious enough to keep our wives and children, husbands or whatever, from pressing in and doing the things of God and being partakers in the fullness. And then when it comes to the world, we turn them loose like a bunch of beasts to roam, to go everywhere, and to be with every frolic and everything that we don't know nothing about. And being blind leaders of the blind, Jesus said, strain it on that and swallow a camel. But folks, in the midst of all of that, there are some people that love Jesus. There are some people that are making preparations. There are some people that's going to heaven. Some are not going to heaven, but there are some that are. Watching a little TV on the side when you know it's wrong and letting your children do it, especially here on the campground, and let them practice the things they do when it comes to smoking and drinking and frolicking and all. You can't imagine the horrible, hideous crimes that's been done on this campground that God revealed to me. And I have went to the individuals, and there's been confession. Standing here tonight, right here, there are those standing in this small congregation tonight that's guilty, that I've been to, that they've confessed. Stand right here. The horrible, hideous deeds, which, you know, we're supposed to be brilliant and wise men, and nothing like that don't happen. We see it. But folks, you don't realize how blind we can be when we don't trust in God. We're not even wise enough to see our own shortcomings, let alone somebody else's. So, well, you never told me about that, Brother Pike. Yes, there's a number of things I never told some of you. And there'll be a number more. There's an old saying, what you don't know won't hurt you. That's not always true. If you don't know a snake's fixing to bite you, if he bites you, he's going to hurt you. But there are some things, you know, that the Bible said a wise man concealeth the matter. Let's just slip our hands up. I'm glad to see Joseph here with us tonight. And I know Joe has just come back with us, but I want Joe to come up tonight and dismiss us in a word of prayer. While you've got your hands up, just lift your eyes up with me, or your hands up, that is, and your eyes toward heaven, and close your eyes tonight and talk to the Lord. The Bible said, examine yourselves and see if you be in the faith. A lot of times you can examine yourself, and by so doing, you save yourself a lot of heartaches and a lot of sorrow. Take heed to what Brother Pike's telling you. See, don't treat it lightly. Don't treat it as a joke. Go to your Bible and read and see if he's told you the truth. Believe it. And do something about it, folks, before it's too late. Do something about it. Young folks, do something about it. Don't wait too late. If the elders want to die in the wilderness and they don't want to do nothing but mumble and grumble and be contrary to what Brother Pike says, half do what I ask them to do, and half the time don't do nothing to what I would ask them. Just do their own way and practice their own thing. Set up their own programs. Don't you do that. You young people, you don't do that. You follow what I'm telling you. Follow me as I follow Christ. And do what I tell you so that you can have eternal life and have the blessings of God here in the earth. Godliness is profitable for this life, too, the Bible said, and the world to come. Do that. As Joseph comes to pray for you tonight, give the more earnest heed to these things that you've heard, lest you should let them slip.